Jamie Bauer.
That's right.
That is how I introduce you, yes?
Yes.
Formerly, though, Jamie
Mock.
Mock. Jamie Mock, like yes. Mock 5.
That's right. I used to be, my nickname was Mock Speed.
Whoa. I saw you flying in front of the house. So was that a thing? You were speeding through Springbank or what?
Just like a fast pace, right? Like just not even in a car, but just like I'm always on the go, moving. I got about 7 things happening.
Is that still you now?
Totally.
I love that. You know what someone told me once, and I never have forgotten it. She was like, the speed in which you walk is the speed in which you go through life. And such is a very slow walker. And I thought, okay, well, I guess that's not a good thing. And I would say I do like a medium pace, and then I pick up the pace when I need to.
Yeah.
If I got to get something done.
There's nothing wrong with a slow pace.
There's not, but you do have to wonder, how do they get anywhere?
You do.
So, Jamie, you are a newer friend to me, and yet you have kind of been in the orbit for a long time. In fact, it is possible that at some point back in the day, we even crossed paths in high school at a house party.
Who knows? Could have. It seems like 100 years ago, high school.
It really does.
Right? Now yes. We've got kids. We've been working for 10 years now. It yes. just seems like another lifetime ago.
Yeah. So you knew Blair, and Blair is my baby daddy.
And, that's right.
Yes. And you, so I want to actually get to know you a little bit more.
Sure.
Because, you know, so we had a really interesting chance meeting, I guess, you know, a month and a half ago now or whenever that was. Again, every day is like week, feels like weeks go by. But yes, at McDonald's at the play center with our children, and you and Blair saw each other right away. And then Hugh was so thrilled to have a little playmate, and Annie always loves an older girl.
Yeah. No, they really hit it off, and we've got another play date scheduled.
Later today. Yes. I know. And I was saying to another girlfriend today, when you meet a mom friend that you like, you take their number and you don't let go of it.
Yeah, you hold on tight.
Yeah.
Totally.
Just because you're a mom doesn't mean it's going to, you know, vibe. So.
Yeah. No. You got to keep your mom friends close. Jeez.
Okay. So let's go back. Let's go back. Where are you from?
Born and raised in Calgary. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really
left. What part
left.
Of Calgary? Springbank? Are you from Springbank?
I am from the Northwest. Hawkwood.
Don't even know it.
It's don't kind even of know by it. Like Market Mall.
Okay, I am learning neighborhoods new. Now. Brentwood, yes. From my knowledge, is Northwest.
Yes, it's kind of in that area.
The new university district, Northwest.
Yes, it's north of the university.
Okay.
So still a little bit north.
Have you been to that neighborhood, by the way?
Which one?
University district.
Not in a while. I literally don't go into the Northwest. I'm a Southwest kind of gal at this point.
Yes.
I moved from the Northwest to the Southwest in grade 9.
Okay.
Yeah, moved to Springbank.
And was that a little bit of a culture shock? Like, can
Absolutely.
We talk about that? Because as someone who lives in Calgary, I was talking to someone the other day and we were kind of chat. She was actually someone from high school. Mm-hmm. We met in the university district.
Yes.
At OEB. That was also my first OEB experience. It was very good.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, like, I guess the nuances of high school life and, you know, you'd hear about Springbank kids and you'd hear about like kids at Rundle or Western, and you're all in your own little bubbles. Like
totally.
We were at St. Mary's downtown.
Yep.
So now that I'm discovering all these neighborhoods, I'm starting to actually get to know like, what is Calgary?
Yep.
Like I didn't get it then
right.
at all. And I didn't know there were some farm kids at Springbank. And then there was like the kids that were like the OC, but we were like, we're like on the OC. Cause that was the show then.
Yes.
And that's how my pea brain worked at the time. It didn't really go beyond that.
Yeah.
And so now I'm actually starting to discover the city for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
But what was Springbank like when you went there?
It was like the rich kid community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it still is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, this is, I don't know. I felt like all the parents were in the oil and gas industry. They were executives in the industry, and very like when we turned 16, we all got brand new cars, nice vehicles. I felt so bad for the teachers.
Yeah.
They're driving like this Toyota Corolla. They're working their brains off, and here they get these 16-year-olds who
I know.
Or 18, I guess it was. I don't know, but just
16.
Well, yeah, was it 16? Yeah.
Yeah, because Calgary's a farming city, and so, or farming town. You're married to a farmer. We'll get to that later.
I bet we will.
That is so wild that I said that and then realized, but.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Seriously, like, we moved here. I'm from Montreal. We moved here and kids were getting their learners at 14.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, you know, hands on the steering wheel. You wouldn't even see the head. And there was some kid driving this car,
right?
This huge, like, you know, whatever.
SUVs and
everyone's
trucks.
Driving these big trucks here.
Yep.
And they were ripping around those roads back in Springbank.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what a crazy experience. Like, where did you have your grad, by the way? This will only be interesting to Calgarians, what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah. So I graduated from Calgary Academy.
Oh
yeah. In grade 11. In my grade 12 year, I actually switched to Calgary Academy, which is a private school.
Yes. Down 85th.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not far from Springbank. So there's some of the same people. I forget. I think it was just an opportunity. I got into it and, you know, it's private school, so you get more attention. And,
right. You know, I know I'm like introducing focus. Trauma again. You're like, and I went there because Blair's cousin went there too.
Did he?
He did.
Yeah.
Charles Douglas. Do you know him?
Of course he did. Yes, I do. I haven't seen him since high school either.
Another one.
Yes. How's he doing?
Great. Married, lovely, wonderful
Is
wife, Alex. Yes. In
oh
Strathcona.
My God.
So now we've graduated from high school. What did you have aspirations to do at that point? Because I think most people here just go straight into university. Like, what was your plan?
Oh, I love your questions. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be, like an educator. Mm. I wanted to teach. I even when I was a kid, I used to like play teacher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was my big play thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got out of school and I wanted to be a teacher.
All of this we circle back to though in life. Okay. So you wanted to be a teacher. You actually went through the process at university though to
Sad story. I got, what do you call it? Like I got, the program was too competitive.
Oh,
I tried to get in. I went to the University of Lethbridge, tried to get into the education program there.
Okay.
And I didn't get in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what do? You just keep going to school.
So you went still though to the Lethbridge.
Yeah.
Lethbridge University, University of Lethbridge. I'm like, okay. But you didn't get into the program that you wanted.
That's right.
Oh my God. And yet I feel like, do we not always hear that they're understaffed in the teaching community?
Yeah. Yeah. You
Why
hear.
Why is this?
Yeah.
Understaffed or there are too many of them. I just don't really know. It's like the healthcare community. They're like, we're understaffed, but are people also getting turned away from these programs? Like I'm confused.
It's Yeah.
So you didn't get in. Were you majorly disheartened? Were you like, this was the only plan?
Yes, I totally was.
Then what?
So I ended up with a Bachelor of Science degree.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just like kind of, because I was getting credits, right, for my courses.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, I went to, what do you call those? Like an advisor or whatever.
Yes.
And she was like, okay, well, we can still get you a degree. You just have to kind of move this way instead.
Uh-huh.
So I got a Bachelor of Science degree.
Did you have to do science related things?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was really strong in math in high school and that was my major.
when I
went into university. And
blessings
I wanted to be a math teacher. Like, that's where all my...
Oh, now it's all starting to align.
Yes. Like, okay. I was heading in this direction already. And then my minor was psychology and geography.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So all kinds of things were happening.
Super science-y. I never really liked English. Like, I got through it, but I struggled. And social sciences, like, I didn't mind it, but I was really heavy and I loved math. I loved physics, like, yeah. Just the adding the math to the science. I was just like, yeah, it's my jam.
I look at those who excel in these areas and I think, well done.
Yeah.
Good, good. We need you, but it certainly has not been my path in life. Okay. And then did you say to yourself, I'm going back to Calgary? Like, were you partnered at that point? And was your partner in Calgary? Okay. So you just had your sights set on returning back to Calgary.
Calgary. Yes.
And then what was the plan though?
Yeah. I applied to jobs in the oil patch, I guess. Right. Like largely the oil companies downtown. Somebody hired me. And I played that game for like,
someone hired me.
Yeah. And also my dad used to work at Suncor.
Okay.
So that was my lead in. I eventually got a job at Suncor.
Yeah.
Working as a database administrator. So science degree didn't really, I don't know. It kind of came back later.
Yeah, like what does that mean? Database administrator? You're literally like tapping things in. It's a database.
It's a, like if people need access to the database, right? Or the links aren't working or something's not adding right, right? Like it's kind of like...
They're calling you up.
Yeah.
Help me, Jamie.
Yes. Yeah.
Find it in the database.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is this thing? So that was my first position at Suncor.
Okay. Let's talk about this town though. Like one of my fascinations in coming back here is, and you know, I keep talking about this, but it's what is the culture of Calgary. It's so interesting. It has changed so significantly since we moved from here 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it has had such an influx in creativity, culture, and people, you know, like pursuing things outside of the oil industry. But growing up here, I think, you know, your parent was either in the oil industry, as you said, yours was. My mom did also, you know, a decade in that world. And,
right.
My parents are in aviation, but cool. Besides that, like that's kind of what, unless you do, you know, doctor, lawyer, but that's kind of what people are geared towards, whether they're going up north or they're downtown in the, you know, buildings. So you, unless you really do have a creative urge to like go outside of that, that is, I think, you know, what most people are driven to do. They just think, oil industry.
Yeah. I mean, for me, if I had to sum up Calgary in like a sentence,
I'm so intrigued.
It's this working city, uh-huh. Right? Like, I don't know if it's just the oil patch. It's definitely a big part of our economy, but I mean, we've got creatives. We have, I don't know. We've got farmers,
yeah.
Right? That's Alberta, really. It's not just Calgary.
Yeah.
But, for me, this is a working town. Like everybody here is just working, working, working.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, it can even be daycare stuff or whatever. But it's so much working going on around here. We leave to relax.
You have a very interesting lifestyle, though.
Yes.
And I'm debating if we go into that yet or if we... Okay, so you do the first job at... Not at Suncor?
Suncor was my very first job.
Oh, right away.
Right out of university. It took me, I think, about a year or so to get the job.
Is it very competitive to get in to that world, even though, you know, that's what you studied? You had the accolades, I guess, to get the job.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did you do in the meantime? Were you just meandering around trying to figure out what to do?
You have some really amazing questions. Love it all. So this is a, I don't talk about this at all, but I also worked in a nursing home.
Oh.
Yeah. As a food service assistant.
Oh.
So I'm like handing out meals.
Yeah.
And that kind of kept me busy. I actually worked there for almost 10 years too. I started when I was 16, I want to say.
Wow.
Right out of the, right when you could.
My sister worked at one Wentworth.
Okay.
Anyways, also just for the elders out there, shout outs to the elders.
Yes. I worked at Care West was the big parent company, and I worked at Sarcy and Royal Park.
Do you feel like doing that affected you in any way? Did it give you insight into life?
Really?
Oh, Lord.
Grounded me.
You might get heavy here.
Yes. And this is life. Like, this is natural. Like, it's sad. It's kind of sad, right? But this is where we go. This is everybody's path.
Do we have to go there?
Yes.
Could we go to Phoenix then at least one in the sun?
Yes. Okay. Pick one in Florida, California. I mean, you can also, I think, have people come to your house and like you can provide those services for you.
Flair said we're going to get a really big door with a big lock so that our kids can't take us and we're just going to stay
inside.
And yeah, someone will come to us then.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So you felt it to be a grounding experience.
Yeah. And I just even seeing my colleagues, like they didn't have the education. They didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
And so like, at least for me, I had an exit.
Right.
I knew I'm not retiring here.
Right.
I knew that this was a stepping stone, a place for me to make some income.
Yeah.
And really grind it out, you know, learn about getting up. I had to get up at like 5 in the morning to go to my 6 a.m. shift. And it taught me a lot about, I don't know, working, I guess, and just really
work ethic.
Yeah. That's it.
What do you think about people who, you know, I think I've had a great experience with an amazing junior designer who worked for me. But I think what's interesting is, you know, I think unless you do have, I don't want to say anything negative about anyone who's worked for me because I've had great experiences, but I see all these guys and gals who are setting out, and particularly in this younger generation, who are just expecting to get like the job right away without doing anything.
Right.
Like, what, don't you think you have to pay your dues to get it?
100%. Like, yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I've talked to some friends too, where I'm just like, no, you have to start at the bottom.
Yeah.
And you have to work your way up.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about it. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have 4 degrees, you can't just jump to the top.
No.
You need experience. You have to get in there and you got to start at the bottom.
Yeah. Or it's not, I just don't think it's sustainable.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any of the, you know, I don't know. You don't have the foundation of looking back and going, I got up, I, you know, was out there at 5 in the morning. I was on time. If I wasn't, I was reprimanded and
totally.
It didn't feel good. Like,
yeah.
I can't just waltz around and expect that everybody's going to kind of, you know, come to me as the one. I don't know. I just feel like there's a missing link, and it's not, I'm not trying to sound all like, you know, wagging my finger, but I don't know. I just think that is not happening as much now. And I've seen it like that. There's the entitlement, and again, broken record. We've all heard about this, but it's true. There's a reason that people are talking about this, because there is like a different sense of entitlement now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why?
I feel like Instagram and all this, like,
it is
instant gratification is really not helping.
Yeah.
Right. That's a really big influence here. People just see things and they just think that's how it works, but they don't realize there's actually like 10 years of, or 5 years of something behind this, right?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't just happen.
And I'm guilty of it myself. Even when I post something, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to post this new project that I've worked on. But again, it's like, then it's out there, then it's gone. And I feel like, oh no, what am I going to post next? And I'm thinking, how am I falling prey to this whole, you know, yes. cycle? But behind that one photo could literally be a year plus of work on that one client project that you get that one vignette photo, and people don't understand there are, you know, dozens of calls for the mirror that was late and this and that. And then you throw it out there and then you feel bad about, you know, not producing more. It's just actually quite crazy, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've really like lost touch with reality.
Saying it, I feel that.
Right? It's this like...
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We've really, it just feels like we've lost touch of what's really going on, right? You can post that picture and it can look amazing.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's so many things happening behind the scenes that you don't see here. We're not talking about,
no.
not showing.
Yeah.
And that's reality.
Well, and you and I had, you know, I think the good fortune of growing up before that happened.
True.
Like I only got a cell phone because my sister got a cell phone and I got mine in grade 12. She was desperate to have one.
Yeah.
And I said, well, great. Now I have one. This is so fun. But I remember instantly, like, even though it made me more autonomous, it was like, people could always reach me. And it was suddenly that anxiety of knowing that I could always be reached. And
right.
then suddenly the insecurity of if I didn't have the phone, now what if something happened to me? I have no way to reach someone. It's like all the resourcefulness disappears.
Right.
Like I used to use a payphone.
I know. 35 cents.
Yeah. I remember when I went from 25 cents to 35 and I was like, criminal. How am I going to get this
robbery.
Dime?
Yes.
Yeah. Now I need 2 coins.
Yeah, I know.
So wild.
It's crazy. The evolution, like yeah. where we've come,
how
right?
fast it happens
yeah.
too.
And I can't help but think about what our kids will experience and what kind of technology will be at their fingertips. Like it's going to get wild.
It is. And you know, growing up we would see things like holograms and it would be kind of laughable, like, but now you think, okay, those things do exist. There are concerts of like Notorious B.I.G. and like
yes.
all of these crazy things like that. You think really though, what is it going to be like? Minority Report? Like what is the technology going to be?
Yeah. I don't know. AI. There's all
yeah,
of
that's
this
happening.
Like, yeah. Like it's going to be more convenient. Like when our kids are teenagers or in their 20s. I mean,
oh
they
God.
Might have chips and stuff in their body where it tells them they're...
I know. And now we sound cuckoo, but like, why wouldn't that be next?
I know, right?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Whew, okay. So back to Suncor. You're at Suncor. You have this job doing database entry.
Yep.
And then what happens? How many years are we there at that point?
Yeah. So I'm still at Suncor.
So you have been there for like
11 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't left.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. It is. I can't.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Unless I have noticed though, talking to some girlfriends from high school, like catching up, I think that because people are in this one, you know, genre of work, they have been loyal. Like I don't hear about too much jumping around between the mm-hmm. oil and gas companies per se, like they're kind of climbing within them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I say Suncor is really cool because it's like a university. Like so I was in safety. I was a database administrator for safety database when I first started. And then I just, when I came back from my mat leave, joined a mining team.
Whoa.
So total shift. And I kind of had to start at the bottom again, like, which kind of sucks. But at the same time, I'm learning so much about mining.
Yeah.
Right. And I could go to communications if I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Right. This organization is so big that like...
And they're cool with that, with you switching your specialization within it.
If you are down... They are down.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of people too that are like, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing and keep going and going. But for me, I decided to switch and
now
I don't regret it.
This maybe, I don't know how you're going to feel about the question of genderedness in the realm of oil industry, but has that been a positive experience for you? Is it still, okay, let me ask this question. Do you feel it's still predominantly male?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I think there are women. Yeah. There are
a lot of women.
I think it's changed in the last little bit.
Yeah.
But it is, and it's intimidating, I think, to go to your answer. Like, there are times where it's like you're in a room. I used to have to present safety stats monthly to executives, senior leaders.
Yeah.
And that was so scary for me.
So is that what started you in the pursuit of like reaching out to someone to help you with that?
That is exactly how I reached out to a life coach.
Yeah.
I went online and found a life coach and I'm still working with her today. That was 2016.
Wow. So was there a pivotal moment though that you were, you know, you walked into the boardroom, everyone's seated there, or maybe you've already prepared and then they all walk in and you're standing there and you're thinking, like, what are you thinking? I need to find my voice more. I feel like I need to feel more empowered here. I need more confidence. Like, no one ever, by the way, no one, unless you take like, you know, Toastmasters or some kind of formal speech kind of, you know, presenting course, or you just have that natural ability.
Right.
It is, as they say, you know, scarier than, what did they say? Death or something horrible. Like, it's people's fear beyond dying because it's so scary.
Yeah. No, and it's definitely one of those things you got to practice and put yourself out there and try, you know.
But you have to be so vulnerable when you're trying. You have to, you're already like being thrown into this professional setting. And then in order to try though, you have to almost humiliate yourself to continue to practice. Yeah. It's not like you're really practicing. You're being forced to do it in a very professional manner.
Yeah. Yeah. I call it fail fast.
Tell me more.
Yeah. I mean, you fail and you learn, you fail and you learn, you grow every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to, I think not, if you can get to the stage, learn to not be as hard on yourself and go, okay, that time wasn't great.
Yeah.
I know I have to do it again and I am dreading it possibly.
Yeah.
But it's going to keep getting better
as we go. Yes.
How did you learn this though? Where did this come from? Did this come from the vehicle of working with someone?
Yeah. You know, I think it was a blend. So I was reporting monthly. So I had to do this again in 30 days.
Oh my God.
Do the same song and dance in front of these same executives.
Wow.
And And then, so on in parallel, I was working with a life coach around confidence. How do I I found I was going into these meetings. I thought I was prepared. And then I'd have these executives ask me a question. And I'm just like,
you'd freeze. I don't know.
I didn't prepare for that. I thought, you know,
oh my God.
And it just felt, I don't know. I kept having to say like, I'll have to get back to you on that. And it didn't quite feel right.
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 Which is okay to say, you know, a couple of times, but if that's the only answer, then you feel humiliated too. And you actually also must have that question, why was I not prepared to be more prepared?
Exactly.
Like, so was there, because I think like another thing in just life in general is, you know, people love to throw around the expression like there's no hand holding here, but you also kind of do think that if you are going to be working somewhere or doing something, people will be kind of guiding you to some, you know, like you will be set up to win because it's a reflection of everybody around you.
Your whole team, right?
Yes, your whole team. But then you realize, A, no one really knows what's going on. And B, no one has time to actually tell me. And so everyone's kind of on their own course.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the teamwork is like in that environment, but I do think that, you know, we are kind of not set up to win in a lot of these situations. And then you go like, why didn't anyone tell me? And then you, by saying that, even think, well, I am an adult now. I need to take this, you know, I have to take the bull by the horns here and figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why so my leader was super supportive, but it was just something missing. I think something with the life coach, it was like an external person. They didn't know the executives, right?
Yeah.
They didn't know the business. They didn't know the situation. Right. And so it was just, I don't know, more comforting. My boss was, you know, totally trying to help me and stuff like I'm, you know, but it just wasn't enough or something. It just wasn't.
Right. So when you looked for the life coach, and you must love your relationship with her because you're still, you know, working together all these years later, that's a long time, 7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
But what were you looking for specifically at the time? Like, was there a pivotal moment where you were like, okay, this is the last time I'm going to stand here and feel like I, you know, don't know how to carry myself or whatever it be.
Yeah.
And then what were you searching for? Like a career coach specifically or?
No. So Liz Wiltson is her name. She is like a more of like a spiritual coach, I would say. There's this really grounding, almost like nature-y kind of vibe. I Googled, I think, life coach. She's in Banff too. Like, she's not even in Calgary. We talk on the phone. Everything is remote, which I love. You can talk in the comfort of your home, right? And I really resonated with her website. That's what drew me in. I made the call and we did like a discovery session, I think it was called, where we talked for, I don't know, it was 60 minutes or 90 minutes or something. And clicked, right?
Yeah.
If we hadn't clicked, I would have switched
completely
because I've done therapy too.
Yeah.
And it just, if you get the wrong therapist, you're just like
on defense almost.
Almost. Yeah. You're like, this isn't going to, you know, it just doesn't work. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't actually shop around too much for a life coach. It just clicked.
Yeah. So she has like a more holistic life approach in general.
Yes.
Like if you're taking care of yourself inside and up there, like you're gonna, you know, be able to succeed.
Yeah. She's also got this almost like big cosmos, like universe, like we're all working together, like we're together in one. And so it's holistic, but it's also like it's big, right?
Yeah.
Like she's got this big view on life. It's not just like you.
Right.
It's all of us.
Well, there we go. Yeah, it is all of us. So were you expecting though to go in that direction? Like when you were going, I need to present better, were you thinking you would be kind of finding the spiritual angle appealing? Like, was there something that you were seeking out inwardly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just resonated for me.
Are you spiritual? Like, has that always been something?
I think with her coaching, this is something now that I like firmly believe.
Yes.
Like, yeah, the moon is like my best friend. I love watching it change and go through its cycles. And I'm really, and especially moving to the farm, I have a totally different relationship with nature and rocks and rivers. And it sounds kind of hokey pokey, but
not really.
Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, nature therapy has been such a successful way for people to, you know, if they are struggling to realize, like you said, there is something greater around us.
Yeah.
It's not just me in my home having all these little problems. It's like looking at the mountains, looking at the greatness of what actually is around us. And I think coming back to Calgary, I really felt like all the years that my parents have this beautiful, like panoramic view of the mountains from their home.
Love.
I saw it every morning, you know, and I thought, that's nice. I didn't, I took it for granted.
Isn't that funny how we do that? I do that too.
Yeah. And now I just feel so humbled by it, seeing it. I think, wow, it's right there. I can't believe that. What a gift that I get to see that. What an amazing gift. And like, that just brings me into such a different path.
Mindset
of gratefulness. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you have a bad day, you can reset it and go, you know what? why is today going to be a bad day? Cause I, you know, bumped my, ankle and I, you know, just had a little bit of a hissy fit and no, I'm going to reset right now. Right. It is going to be a great day.
Yes. Well, and that's another piece of life coaching is your mindset, right? Yeah. Your attitude. How do you see the world? Like if you see negative things, you're going to see the world very negatively. Mm. You know, that's what you're going to, but if you see things in a positive light, you're going to see a bunch of cool stuff.
You will. And okay. So I'm very glass half full.
Okay.
How do you reprogram someone who's glass half empty? Cause I know a lot of those and I just think they really, and they try, but it's like, they cannot not see the, you know, the wah, wah side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, I like to lead by example. I try to speak up when I hear this, like, wah, wah,
yeah.
You know, like and then just like, you know, kind of show that, like shine that piece that is happy. I mean,
yeah.
I've got a, like wherever, one of my favorite sayings is wherever there's a negative, there's a positive or something like that. I don't know. It's not, obviously not one of my super duper favorites. I like, can't remember it right
she
now.
She has a tattooed on her arm.
But I think it's so true. Like whenever you see a negative, there is a positive, whether you're noticing it or not, it's there.
Yes. I think, you know, this year for me has been quite a year. Yeah. It's been a toughie.
Yeah.
But you know, I think even just going and reframing and going, this is happening for me. It's not happening to me.
Yes.
I am going to try and really make the most. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, part of life is, you know, some of the hard stuff. And I lost my dad in the fall.
Aww.
And it was really hard.
Of course.
But I, in so many ways, I actually feel closer to him now.
Aww.
And again, this is how I've reframed it. But, yes. And you know, again, some people might say, well, reframing is a way of, you know, almost making yourself better because you're kind of like ignoring, or I don't believe that. I really think, and I think those people are not enlightened. And I don't think I'm the most enlightened. I have a lot of growth to do for the rest of my life.
Yes,
really?
Absolutely.
Like it's never going to end.
No, that's another thing with life coaching I've learned is it never ends. I mean,
right.
I got confidence at Suncorp many moons ago and I'm still using her.
Right.
Right. I'm still talking to her every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Things come up, right?
Well, yeah.
Curveballs. I call them life's curveballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right when you think, you know, you just had the
right
best
when you
night.
Think you got it. You're like,
isn't
damn
it ironic?
It. Yes.
No, but really.
Don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. Like it is those little things, but it can suddenly throw off your cool and you go, uh-oh, wait a second. And it takes you out of that kind of bliss.
Yes.
And you have to, you know, recalibrate and that can be really hard and it will throw any normal person off. They're not going to go, ha ha. Like,
yeah,
nothing bothers me. Of course it will.
Yes. Well, and that's why I love having my life coach. Cause when I get tossed a curveball, I can call her up and we work through this.
So she is very much like a therapist.
Yes.
Dare I say it? Like, does she know the ins and outs of your life at this point? Or do you just have that unique relationship point in general?
No, she's like a big part of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's kind of crazy cause we've never really met. I met her a couple times, like in person, but the 7 years has all been remote.
FaceTime or just phone?
Phone.
Wow.
Phone calls.
Old school.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that feels more comfortable though, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So week one, you have life coach. What are the things that she's, and I know we're going back 7 years, but like right away, what was kind of resonating with you about the tools you were learning?
Yeah. So I would say my biggest tool is listening to my body.
Cause you were actually having physical kind of reactions to the stress.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. You almost can't function or talk or do anything cause you're just so stressed. Right.
Yeah. That and it can change like in an instant.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
We call that process where we process that, those emotions, right? That anxiety, that fear, that stress, right? And it, it's kind of scary because we feel into it, right? And we let it like...
Right. You know what's happening. There.
Yes, yeah. Instead of pushing it away or getting distracted, right? Which I think society is, that's the norm. Like everything's fine. Don't deal with the actual problem, you know?
So what were some of the things right away to try and, you know,
calm myself?
And how? How do you calm yourself though?
Yeah. So for me, breathing is a big one.
Yeah.
Right. That just like deep breathing and just like taking a minute, like take that minute. Like just if you need to shut your eyes or go back to your desk and just breathe before talking and reacting, then that's the right thing to do.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I realize I don't breathe.
That's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I am more mindful of that though in recent times. And I think I got to the point where I would just be getting so like the anxiety. I've never like medicated for it, but I'm surprised I haven't because I was just, you know, keeping so much in and it would, like you said, have physical like ramifications about like having stunted breath almost. Like I couldn't take a full breath.
Right.
And that's when I realized I'm not even breathing. And then it became like a psychological thing of like, now I need to breathe, but I can't take a full breath.
Right.
And it sounds so simple.
Yes.
To fix, like just take some deep, full, you know, what do they call it? Like the cube, like three breaths in, three breaths out and three, like, I don't know, some kind of military cue breath or something, but it's not as easy. And you think, oh, I don't even have time to do this kind of breath. But then you're not breathing
like
at all.
It's like a practice, right? And I think it's just, for me, that's how I calm down. Like I will leave the room.
Good.
I will leave and I will take my 5 minutes if I need to.
Wow.
Cause yeah, I've also learned, I think in my career, that it's just not worth reacting when I get into that space.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to say something that I regret or just, you know, let the, you know, when you get into that space, you're not acting your authentic self. And that's another like pillar of life coaching.
Yeah.
Is how do we get you to be yourself?
Right.
Stand up for what you want, right? Not what the social norms say, not what the, you know, what the culture is doing, not what these senior executives are up to. Like, what do you want to say here? And what do you want to communicate? Right.
Right. Well, I think, you know, you were back to what you were saying earlier and, you know, just responding with, I'll get back to you on that. Like that in itself, I think is showing of a little bit of, instead of saying, I don't know, you know, feeling confident enough to say, I will have to get back to you on that. Why do you think it is though, that we are taught that we always have to give an answer? Like if someone even, let's say you're talking to your husband.
Okay.
And this is a different dynamic than any other one, but why is it, you know, as the partner or as the friend, we always feel like we need to give the person the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're just even telling them like, I've had a bad day. I saw this person. I wasn't expecting to see this person. It really stressed me out. And they're like, well, who cares about them? And you're thinking, well, I care.
I do. Yeah.
And not only that, but why as the other person, do you think that we just are naturally taught that like, maybe it's to be empathetic to the other person, but it actually makes
you less comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at your expense.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I blame a lot of stuff on society.
Yeah.
On just the cultural norms. Like, I don't know if we're just taught to, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we're just taught to like be nice to people and,
yeah.
But if it's your own expense, that's where I got a problem with it. If you authentically don't want to show up in this way, then don't.
I think like, and now that I'm saying this, I'm working through this and it's something that I've thought about a little, but I think, you know, the tools that our kids, like who, you know, Ella just turned 3.
Yes.
Hugh is going to be 4 in August and Annie 2 in July. And I think the way that they're learning to accept information and the way that they are being told to like say, you know, like no thank no, or, you know, like, I don't know, to have their own voice in a different way than I think we were taught.
Yeah.
It's very fascinating.
Yeah. I, with Ella, I really try to, I don't know, emphasize the emotional side. So like, it's okay to cry. Are you sad?
Yes.
Tell me about your feelings, right? Are you mad? Because that's okay too. You can be mad at me right now. We got to go. I'm rushing you a little bit. This is fair, right?
Yeah.
But tell me about it, right? And just so that, you know, or, you know, if you're happy, like, let's talk about that too, right?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing it.
Yeah, like, what's really bothering you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's three.
Instead of, don't be mad.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, she can't, she's mad, she's mad. Like, let it be.
Like, work through it, process it. Don't just push it down.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Not for it.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think it's uncomfortable. I blame a lot on society.
Yeah.
We're just not taught this stuff.
Yeah. Our parents didn't know speak a certain way.
No.
And even now, you know, I might even share a detail like that. And, you know, my mom is very open, but I think generationally that generation, might go, oh, like, do we have to coddle them that much?
Yeah.
But you think, yes, actually to some degree. And I don't mean like to a degree that where you're literally never letting them, like, you know, where you're being so, I don't know.
Is it like controlling?
Well, almost controlling how emotional they should be. Like, it's like, there's gotta be something in between too, where it's not like, you know, oh, you have feelings that you lost. Well, you should never lose. Like that whole thing about people can't lose anymore. Cause you gotta be able to lose or you can't ever feel how good it feels to win.
Yeah. That failing fast thing again.
Yes.
Right?
Something in between, like what we're teaching, maybe we're getting it better than the generation just ahead of us. Cause I feel like the 10-year-olders than us, they were the ones that gave medals to everybody.
Right.
And we're hearing about everybody's getting medals now. And that I don't think was serving anyone. Mm-hmm. So maybe we are getting it right now, righter now.
Yes. I think we're getting there. I think it's easier to talk about, you know, psychological safety.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big thing nowadays. And I think we're getting there. We're having the right conversations.
Yeah.
You know, diversity and inclusion. This is that, right? Letting everybody be who they are and just like respecting that.
Yeah.
That's kind of new.
It's so new that, you know, I think we're still wrapping our heads around what we're allowed to, feel like and express outwardly in a new kind of way. Like no one ever talked about mental health leave before.
Yes.
That wasn't a thing.
No.
You wouldn't say I'm staying home cause I'm depressed.
No.
You would go, oh, I don't feel well.
Yes.
But no one asked if it was in your head that you didn't feel well, even if that is the emotion you were feeling or the pain you were feeling was there and not a cough. You couldn't say that really.
Yeah. Or you might feel ashamed, right? Even if you could say that, there's so much shame there.
Yeah.
It's starting to come around where it's like, it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
But I think we guys still got some work to do as a society.
What was it like then? So you have a very flexible work life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Cause you're a mom now.
Yes.
And, like, I guess there are two parts of this because you have a very unique life.
Yes.
Schedule and obviously flexibility with your work, but you do it as a mother too. Like,
it's wild.
Give us the rundown here. How to describe.
So I think it all starts with Suncor. I'm still working there.
Yeah.
And they have, we're working in a hybrid model, right? After COVID-19, this hybrid model came into play.
Yeah.
And I work in the city here, Calgary, for 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And then I moved out to the farm when Ella was born.
Wow.
Yeah. I left the hospital.
Wow.
And moved to the farm.
Oh, you had never actually permanently lived there at that point.
I would
You were just going back and forth.
On the weekends.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a culture shock for me when I first moved out there full time, right? Yeah. I didn't have my job. I had this baby.
Right.
It was...
Oh, I wasn't thinking mat leave, of course.
Yeah.
Oh,
I went on. God. Yeah, went on mat leave. And this is actually March 2020. So this is like the world is transforming. Shut down.
Andrea Bocelli singing to a very vacant Milan or wherever he was. We're all crying.
Yes.
A shocking time, really, to go back to.
Crazy. Wow. Crazy, right?
So she was born in March. That's right. Oh my God. So you never had any break. I had 6 months with Hugh before that started. So I had some semblance of like what it would be like to be out in the world doing mommy things. That's actually crazy that you went straight into the like incubator yourself.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was a lot. It was quite a trip, really. Like, the world is changing. My lifestyle was changing. Living on the farm, it was always like almost like a vacation home or something. And I've always known in the back of my mind, I'm going to end up on this farm, right? But to actually like execute and to live there and settle and move my stuff in there, it was hard. I'm not going to sit here and be like, it was the rainbows and butterflies. It was so hard. I missed the city.
Yeah.
I missed the city. It was so crazy. I would miss like homeless men. Yeah. Like just stuff that like, you know.
A strange man wandering by.
Scratching his bum on the street. Like that's what I miss. Because there's nothing out there, even buildings, right? The convenience of things like.
And where are you again? The listeners, not the viewers. Well, perhaps.
It's a small hamlet called Torrington, Alberta.
And what do you have to do to qualify to be a hamlet? Like, or what don't you have to do to be qualified as a hamlet?
Okay, so I don't know.
100 people?
There's 150 people.
Wow.
151 now.
And
with
they're
this
all in the
gorgeous
family.
Girl.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's very family orientated, right? There's a lot of Bowers in the area.
Wow.
And yeah. It's
Bower being your husband's last name.
Yes.
He's of several generations of farmers.
Yes. This is the fourth generation.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. I hope it's three or four. I think it's four.
Where did they come from before that? Germany?
Yes.
Deutschland?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Das Bowers.
That's right.
Wow. That is so crazy. And they came right onto the farm and started farming.
I think the great grandpa came.
Wow.
I think he was farming with a horse and the like. Things have changed so much.
How many family are out there? Like, what is the whole network?
It's like, I don't know even how to track that. His brother works with Trevor. And you know what? There's something to be said about like the family dynamic and working with your family.
Yeah.
Like, I still have a tough time wrapping my head around that.
Yeah.
I forget where I was going with
this. How many people? Are there like 45 Bowers out there? Have any of them branched out of the farm life?
Yes. So one of them. There's one. No, there's two.
Hollywood. Eddie Bower. Have you heard of Eddie Bower?
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, one works in the oil industry. He works at Chevron.
Yeah.
And then Trevor's sister, she's a stay-at-home mom. She's in Olds.
And he always planned on becoming a farmer.
No, I think he went to Mount Royal. Actually, I don't think. I know he went. He went to Mount Royal.
I do know him. He is my husband.
I listen when he talks.
Sometimes.
So he went to Mount Royal and tried the schooling life.
Yeah.
And it just was fell flat on his face.
But he loves this.
He loves farming. Yeah. Loves farming.
That's so cool.
So sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know, you kind of have to go somewhere to learn what you do love. Like he tried farming at first, wasn't sure about it.
Too
went
young.
To the city. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get it like at that age.
You
gotta leave and then spread your wings.
Yeah. Well, you live and then you learn. That's What'd I say?
Another Alanis expression. You live, you learn. Are they modern farmers? Like, I don't even know what that means, but I feel like people talk about modern farming a lot. You see those people like at the, I don't know, like farmer market people who are like, everything is grass fed and it's farm to table.
No, no, there's chemicals involved in this operation.
But it's canola oil.
Canola, wheat, and barley. Where it goes.
Oh, canola can be so many things.
Yes.
So I've now learned more recently. It's in everything.
Yeah. I don't know where it goes when it leaves the farm, but those are the big things. And then they go to market, right? Where they are bought from another vendor and used for whatever products or...
So you've been there 3 years now. Then.
Yes. Yeah.
So what has it been like then having this okay. So thank God, well, not thank God that COVID happened, but otherwise there wouldn't be this opportunity. Yes. Like what would you guys have done actually?
You are so good with your questions. It's crazy.
It's just a stream of consciousness.
I love it. So no, I actually was ready to leave. So Suncor is not very interested in remote working.
Okay.
So it's whatever, right? Yeah. It is fair. It's just their way of working. And right. I totally respect that. So when COVID happened, I was just like, what is happening? My dreams are coming true. This is the biggest, because I finished my mat leave, or when I was going on my mat leave, I was like ready to leave Suncor because I knew I was going to the farm.
This sounds so intense. I was going to the farm.
I was going to the farm. I'm leaving the city. I can't, you know, how can I work for Suncor in the city and live on the farm? Like this isn't sustainable. Yeah. This isn't healthy. Yeah. This is not the life I want. Right.
Yeah.
So I was ready to, you know, say goodbye to Suncor. You know, maybe I'll get a job out there, you know, the flower shop or something. Do something.
Are there flower shops?
Ugh, I don't know. But just something to keep me busy.
You need to be busy.
I definitely am a worker. Yeah. I need some sort of project.
Social.
Yeah. I need to be part of a team, right? Yeah. I love that energy. So yeah, I was ready to say goodbye and then COVID happened. And honestly, it was like, sweet. Yeah.
Wow.
Go federal government. You tell Suncor. Like, right. And 100% remote. It was crazy. And I just had
is this like what's been implemented everywhere that they have to have like a flexible model like this?
No. So things have really changed. This was back when 2019.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But so I don't know. Suncor does this hybrid model, 3 days, and you can pick your 3 days.
Right.
But I know other companies are like 4 days in the office and some people are still 100% remote. Like, there's really no governance. It's all up to the company.
Are you still working though on your off days? Like, are you still expected to be like reporting in and everything?
What do you mean?
Like when you go back for, when you are on your 3 days back to Tottenham?
Torrington. I have to show you this later. They have this weird Gopher Hole Museum.
Oh, you told me about this. I was like, I bet the kids would love it. Is it taxidermy?
Yes, yes. So Torrington is actually on the map and this Gopher Hole Museum puts it there. It's like, it's maybe the size of this.
Oh.
And it's a bunch of like dioramas of, and it is a museum.
Friends, Seinfeld.
No. No, they're dioramas of the Torrington history.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Civil War.
No, so they have the bar there. They have like no restaurants. It's like there's just nothing there. They have this place called Pizza and More A.
E-H?
E-H.
Oh, wow.
Legal name.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you should see the More section. It's pretty wild.
Oh, my God. So, okay. So, whoa. Okay, hold on. Yep, rewind back to... Okay. So, yeah. On the days, though, that you're back there...
I'm on the farm. I'm working remotely.
Okay. So, you are still working.
I'm working. Yeah. Ella goes to daycare.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you have to organize that on both sides of things. Is that tricky to organize things?
It's busy. It's so busy. Ways. But I love it.
Yeah.
And so... Here, I got another saying for you. You gotta love what you do.
You do.
And you'll never work a day in your life.
No, that's my favorite.
Yeah. It's seriously so powerful.
Yeah.
I love going to the farm. It gets quiet. I call it dev work. I do a lot of my dev work there where I'm like developing something, oh, right? When I'm in the office, it's a little bit more like talky and right, there's like people distracting you, right? Yeah. And it's a different vibe. I'd say I'm productive in both places, yeah, but
you can put your head down and not have all of the noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
So again, I was saying to Blair, it's so, cause when I was, you know, writing down questions, I was thinking her life is so interesting and there are so many positives too. Like, so, you know, some people might be like, I'm away from my partner for 3 days. I'm also raising a child. You are like taking on essentially probably in both scenarios because a farmer's lifestyle is not like necessarily conducive to be doing it solo, not to put like let him off the hook,
right,
but like in both situations you would probably be having to, you know, if you were there full time with him, you would still probably be having to, you know, get her up for school, doing all the same exact things, yes, that you are doing now.
Yeah.
So it's just a very interesting thought of like, you know, the distance being probably a really amazing thing, because then you're so excited to share everything when you are together. And mm-hmm, then, you know, some might think that the distance is so hard to be away from your partner because you are doing all of this
everything,
raising of the child day in and day out.
Yes. Yeah.
There's so many layers to this.
Yeah. You know, our relationship has always been a long distance relationship.
Okay.
Right.
So no surprises.
No, I mean,
except for the child part.
Yeah. The child rearing part. Yeah.
Which was planned, I think.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
However, yeah, but that just adds another layer of like,
complexity.
You know, complexity, exhaustion to a mother, like getting up, getting dressed, getting out the door. That, yes, last part, that last push out the door always takes me out practically until I'm behind the wheel. I'm like, yeah, how did I even get out the door?
Yeah.
But like, you know, all of that part, and you feel like you've been able to.
I have a system. I'm very organized. I don't, yeah, really even realize how organized, no, I am.
Until you have to be.
I talk to somebody else and I'm like, yeah, you don't do that.
Right.
I meal prep. I plan my outfits out.
Yeah.
I do all my cooking on Saturday and all my cleaning. And then I just kind of let that ride for the week. And then, yeah, guess what? Next Sunday, doing it again. Like I, yeah, can't not do laundry once a week because, yeah, it's going to pile up. Right.
Right. So have you always been like this?
I don't know. I don't think ever to this degree.
Was this like for your parents a shock to them that you were going out to this farm life? Like, was, yeah, that like a, huh, this is going to be a different life.
I'm not really sure what their opinion is on it, actually. I think they're so proud of me for doing all the things, right? And just juggling it all. They see me, you know, walking out the door with my baby and my bag,
yeah,
and just like all the things and driving that big pickup truck. Like,
wow. Yeah, it is. I saw it.
It's like, I call it a monster truck, but I just learned how to drive that 2 years ago or 3 years ago when Ella was born.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. I think, you know, I'm proud of myself too. Just the things that you can learn, and,
yeah,
you just got to jump in and give it a try and then keep trying, and then,
yeah,
you fall, you just get up and you go again, and,
yes,
you don't stop. Ever.
I find that when someone says to me, I don't like that, or I ask them, oh, do you like, have you tried it recently?
Right.
The answer is never yes.
Mm.
It's always a distant, I didn't like that one experience.
Yes.
It was usually not more than a handful of times,
mm-hmm,
but people don't really like, you know, and not to say that if there's something you're really uncomfortable with, you should force yourself to repeatedly do it. But, you know, I feel people kind of just go discount something right away. I just don't like that.
Right. And that's them getting in their own way.
Yeah. Cause it could turn into something that could truly, you know, be a life shifting situation. Like, moving to a farm, why would I be at a farm? Maybe it could bring you serenity, or maybe it could bring people into your life and community in a way that you never expected. You know, it's,
yeah,
just strange how these things evolve.
Yeah, you got to be open. You have got to be open, right? If you're closed or defensive, like you're just not going to get it. And and I think that's another life coaching tool is just like, how do you really be open and trust, trust the universe? Like, and I know that's super broad and big, but
no, I always say that too.
Yeah, you have to. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Terrible things happen for a reason. They're here to teach you something.
Yeah.
Let's look at the positive. What are you here to learn right now?
Right. Did you grow up like this?
No. No, my dad is Chinese. Mm-hmm. I very, very strict, you know, lovely guy, but like was
a lovely man.
Great dude.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, and then my mom was a nurse. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, it just, I didn't grow up like this at all. I didn't grow up with like talking about my emotions. This is where my life coach came in, right? This was a big teacher for me and just how to, I don't know if I think, I get through life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to explain it.
I had such an interesting, I went to this really cool course with this woman named Maya Gohill. She's, it's not her teachings, but she's, I guess, you know, she's being the word of these teachings.
Yeah.
And it's about, the things that we learn or subconsciously or unconscious.
Subconscious.
But is it unconscious parenting, I think, meaning like you have taken in so much from your childhood and your life's relationships and interactions that you don't even know where an idea or,
stems
you know,
from.
Yeah. And you are just operating under this all the time in every relationship, not just as a parent, which is what I was interested in, even though the kids are not really at the stage yet where I think we've damaged them too much, but you know, I think that it's just so interesting to think that every little thing just can create this impact.
Yeah. We are definitely products of our past.
Yeah.
Right.
But no one really says that to you until you go to a therapist or you start speaking to someone who asks you, oh, why do you do that way? And you're like, I don't know. And then you're like, oh, well, my mom did because she said if I didn't do it that way, that I wouldn't be respected or something like that, you know, that people wouldn't see me as presentable or I shouldn't talk about this because it would be too much or, and you're like, oh, weird. That's not everybody's same belief. That's just what I believe. But do I even believe that? Or was I just told that is what is right?
Right. Well, and this is what makes a human unique, right? Right. Like I think it's totally fine to be different and totally fine to have those unique experiences. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know about digging like into why I'm like that. It's just, it just is. And that's fine. It gets to be that way.
Yeah. So, okay. So now we're out, we're doing half of the week here. We're doing half of the week at the farm.
Right now I have this thing called Connected Conversations, which is like a group coaching.
Oh
yeah. So me and another coach do it. It's on Saturdays.
After laundry.
Yes. In between.
Yeah.
In between meal prepping and laundry. It's on Zoom and we help people with, it's not like, it's not career coaching. It's with fear, with family dynamics. It's, it's whatever's coming up. I mean, we just talked about spring cleaning the other day, which is like, and not like the traditional one, like yourself.
Life cleansing.
Yeah. What do you want to get rid of? What do you want to keep? Like, what do you want to make space for?
Right.
We drew out our toolboxes the other day, which was really cool.
What does this mean? Like,
like
how to arm yourself to succeed?
Yeah. Or just like, you know, we all have these tools that like help us, but this was just like a collage of our toolboxes.
So like all of your strengths, like that you can use to, or what?
Yeah. Like, so for me, I had, I forget.
What were the tools? A hammer.
Journaling.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Those breath work.
Right.
Right. So I think I just, I had a piece of paper.
Like
with
strategies. Like,
strategies.
Like not coping strategies, but strategies to kind of empower and uplift.
Yes.
And propel.
Yes. And then just remember, for me, it's remembering I'm so dang busy that like I forget my tools every now and then. Right.
Right. And then you go, wait a second. I know how to get through this.
Yeah.
And it can be night and day.
Totally. It's everything. It's like the key.
Is exercise a thing for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I work out at Suncor. They've got a gym.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So I do my workouts at lunch.
Good for you.
It's during COVID I worked, I find it much harder when I'm at the house.
Yeah.
Cause I do these classes and I've got somebody, barking at you basically, like telling you exactly what to do.
Yeah.
So I like that actually.
Yeah.
It's 45 minutes. It's nice, but I hate it when I don't work out. I like hate myself.
You feel it.
I don't like my day.
Yeah.
And I'm like mad at whoever got in my way.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't work out. It's like, it feels really weird when I don't work out.
Well, yeah. And it's not like a bad thing for people to say, like I feel badly about myself when I don't work out. If that's something that you need to reset yourself, if that's something that that you need to ground you, then really it is so important to prioritize it. And it will happen, of course, that you won't be able to.
Yeah, but it happens. Things happen.
Yeah.
But, start small. Start with 15 minutes.
Right.
Work your way up.
Yeah.
Make it a habit. Like somehow get to the gym. Yeah. Set a goal. Find an accountability partner.
Right.
Yeah. That holds you accountable. They don't have to come to the gym with you, but you just text them every time you go and be like, I did it again.
So how did you find the other coach though, that you do this Saturday session with?
Through my course.
Okay. Talk about the course.
Okay. So it is, so I started with, I think it was 3 days for 5 months,
mm-hmm.
full day sessions.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was a commitment.
Yeah.
This is no, like, this wasn't some internet, like, I don't know.
How did you squeeze this in though? On your flex days?
Oh no. So this was before,
for
baby, before COVID. So I took some days off. It was like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I only had to take Friday off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did this. I was so into life coaching. I still am, right? Like I firmly believe, I think everybody should have a life coach just to have in their back pocket, and just somebody to, balance ideas and just be your, and there's just no judgment, right? You
can
be your authentic self.
Yeah.
She doesn't know the details, right? Like you just,
right.
Yeah. It's super. I'm diehard fan. So back to my course. So it was 3 days for 5 months. And once I finished that, then I had to do this, like, what do they call that?
Like a stage, like a, no.
It was like a, you had to do like, with a teacher that you had to coach the teacher.
Whoa.
Right. Like it
turn
was.
Turn the tables.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so they would like record it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was intensive. Okay. This is no joke.
Yeah.
And then you'd get marked on it. They had all these like principles and different things that they'd want you to do. And then they would observe it in your recording. Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What are the foundations of this course?
Okay.
I'm the teacher now.
Yes. And this was like so many years ago. So let's just dig it out of my brain. So they had like fundamentals. The first one was like everything, a little bit of everything. The next one was, I don't know exactly the order, but balance was another one. I'm just going to go through them quick and then we can go in deeper. So balance, process, I think synergy. And I feel like there's one more.
What resonates with you the most, like within this specific course? What did you take out of it going, okay, like that is my thing?
I think what I took out of the course, not this is not my thing, but what I got out of the course was the value of embodiment.
Mm.
Yeah. The value of what you're feeling.
Right.
Right. And what could it possibly mean for your life?
Has this improved all of your relationships, do you think, or has it created any friction in some relationships?
Full on helped.
good.
Yes. Oh, yes. My career ones, yeah. My family ones. No, I mean, you got to trust yourself.
Because, you know, sometimes you hear about like when one person becomes enlightened.
Yes.
They'll go, you're not enlightened. You're not enlightened. I don't want to be around you because you're so close-minded. You're never changing.
Yes.
Which in some ways is close-minded themselves.
That's
just,
right.
You know, be doing that. But I think that it can sometimes take that on too for some people going, well, yeah. I'm not dealing with your nonsense anymore. Whereas, you know, it's the Hillary Trump, like we go high, you go low, like just go above it. Just go yes. above it. Like that person is never going to change.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Just go with that.
Yeah. It's more about like, how do you react to that?
Yeah.
Right. Like they're part of your life. They're here for yes. a reason. They're here to teach you something.
Yeah.
Like you, I'm not about like shunning them or like,
no.
distancing yourself from them just because no. they have different values and beliefs, like that's not fair.
Yeah. Like I think that there's a way to coexist and
absolutely.
Just tune it out.
Yeah. Well, no, and I'm not saying tune it out. I'm saying I like, it's like
I'm like, just don't
run up,
turn
run.
Down the volume.
Yeah, no, I think you got to find a way to
Yeah, how do
work.
You do that though? What if it really is like oil and water though? And it is someone that you have to, you know, that is part of the inner core that is always going to be there and is an important person. How do you deal with that person?
I don't like practice, right? You got to show up and you got to, you know, try.
Right.
Right. You've got to deal with your stuff, right?
Yeah.
Whatever's bothering you about that person is like triggering you somehow.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost about working with what's being triggered within yourself.
Oof.
I'm making any sense.
No, I just think that with some specific relationships, it's so close
right.
to that, like that they are the trigger of the triggering,
right.
if you will.
Yes.
Like they're the ones that created it. That like, even with my dad, for instance, it's like, I knew he would never change. And I knew that even, you know, time could be fleeting and that I was even lucky to be with him. And yet there would be certain things that would be so like instantly, even if I would, you know, prepare myself in advance. And now none of that means anything to me. Of course, all I can think is, you know, wanting to spend that time, and he could say any wackadoodle thing to me, I would not even care at all.
Right. There's a perspective shift.
Yes, there is. We were just talking about the course. You had to tell the teachers, I guess.
Yeah, I had to coach the teachers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Talk about intimidating.
Yeah.
But no, I did it. You just kind of, thing with coaching is there's like a really like presence to it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there's no like agenda. There's just, we're going with the flow. We ask questions based on the last thing that was said.
Yeah.
And we're really like, there's like this inquiry thing. It's not judgmental. We're not trying to figure anything out. Like we're just trying to really get into you, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's weird or funny or whatever, like if it's scary, like we just let it be. We just let it be there. And that's cool, right? Like just get it out, right? Show yourself. Be yourself, right? Yeah. And so it was an intensive course.
Yeah.
It was quite crazy. I did it through co-active coaching.
Okay. And what does that mean? Together yeah. you're with a partner?
Yeah, there's some, I forget now. I should have like studied. There's like this co-active thing where it's like, yeah, I forget now. There's something with that co-active.
Something like, about co-active. If anyone wants to learn more, Google it.
Google it. Yeah, it's online for sure. It's like page one of the textbook.
But
can't remember.
You did stay in touch with one of the other coaches from that.
Yes.
And together you've started to do this.
Yes. So I've actually kept in touch with a bunch of them. But
yeah.
for this one lady, her name is Phoenix.
Ooh.
Ooh, right? Phoenix
yeah.
Gould. She.
Oh, good name.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
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 She I've never met anybody that's so embodied like she is. Oh. She used to be a dancer.
Oh.
Right. So it's almost like for a career, she was moving her body right to the music, like flowing and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I really, I guess you could say I was attracted to that. I'm in my mind quite a bit, right? I'm a math major, science guru, right? Maybe not so much anymore, but I was, and I'm always in my head. I'm always thinking, I'm analytical. And just seeing her express herself through her body really like drew me to her.
Right.
We're very opposites, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I also think that it's like the context in which you meet someone though, you know, like I met you not in a workplace.
Nope.
So I didn't know anything but what you told me about yourself. And so instantly I'm like, oh, she's this creative person. She has this interesting lifestyle of traveling back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it really is so circumstantial to, you know, meeting someone outside of your normal environment possibly. And then someone else interprets you so differently than even you, how you label yourself. Like, you know, when you sit down beside someone at a wedding and they're like, what do you do?
Right.
And you launch into your normal, oh, I work as an analyst, or, yeah, you know, into that whole kind of more script. Procedural script.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus like, you know, I'm a life coach and I've done X, Y, and Z. Like,
yep.
I think we are so used to the labels that we even give ourselves.
Yes.
And then it's hard to deviate from it.
Right. Yeah.
Cause it's scary too. And you think, is it believable? Am I a fraud to say it this way?
Oh no.
It's weird.
I don't like that.
No, it's a strange way. I think that again, we've been taught a certain way of talking about ourselves and what's acceptable and what's like unhinged and crazy and delusional.
Or authentic.
And
right?
You know, you believe it, you are doing it, but because maybe you don't get a paycheck to do whatever blank job or, you know, whatever it is, you feel like you're an imposter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's strange.
It is.
You can be perfectly qualified.
Yeah.
But, you know, until people... And again, this is all about us. It's not about other people validating this for us. It's about us validating it.
For you.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it takes a long time, I think, to actually get it and be comfortable in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say to like, it's just, I don't know. You got to just show up for you, right? And just say what's really on your mind. And you know, if you're, I mean, you could answer that, what do you do, so many different ways.
Right.
If you really, you know.
I'm a mother.
Right.
I'm a friend.
I'm a sinner and I'm a saint. Yeah.
And then you look at that person, you're like, they're drunk.
Yeah.
They're already drunk.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm an aunt, I'm a mom, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, right? Yeah. Am I all those things?
But I think that we are so comfortable in this experience by labeling things. And I think, you know, you keep talking about conventional norms.
Right.
I think like when you do say something that doesn't fit into what people are expecting you to say,
you stand out.
You do. Even if it's not that crazy.
No.
Like until someone else has wrapped their head around, you know, whatever it be, like going home 3 days a week, coming back, it like they can't process that doing that themselves. And they think, whoa, what about this? And how do you do this? And you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't, if they're curious, they can ask all the questions, but they don't have to. I mean, it's not their life, right?
Right.
I'm the one doing it. And as long as I'm empowered, encouraged, you know, I want to do this. It'd be so different if I was dragging my feet and pulling, oh man, I got to do this. Like that's not the energy here.
No.
I'm psyched to go to the farm. I'm psyched to leave the city. I'm psyched to come back to the city.
Yeah.
I love it. I love this hybrid model. It's going to be real rough for me when I have to be at the farm 100% of the time.
I wonder though, if you will have an opportunity though, Okay. It's an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half.
I'm just thinking the puzzle piece again is, you know, Ella is that, you know, yeah. There will have to be at some point, unless you're somehow traveling with some schooling.
I need a jet.
Yeah, exactly.
No, she's going to go to school out on yeah, the farm.
So then you'll have to kind of hunker down a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you could still do a commute like, you know, every week.
And yeah. No, the city's not far. Yeah. I can still come back and, but you know, I feel like, and I know my days are kind of numbered when it comes to being in the city.
Yeah.
I call it riding the gravy train here. Like, it's so sweet to live in both of these worlds right now. Like for me, because I'm a city person.
Yeah.
This is excellent. I know that, you know, what did they say? Nothing lasts forever or something like that. Like this will come to an end and I'll have a new chapter of life to you know, sort through and learn and grow. And, you know, I'm excited about it. I know there are going to be some bad days or rough days, but I'm also looking forward to, you know, being that farm wife and seeing where my life goes. Like what evolution.
Who will you even be then?
Yes.
Right.
What's next for Jamie?
Yeah.
Bauer.
That's like, that's such a great way though to look at things, right. You know, instead of people saying that all good things come to an end, I like you saying, you know, everything must come to an end because that is just the cycle of life.
Yes.
And it is about like, you know, here's the Phoenix word, but the Phoenix rising.
Yes.
You know, so really Phoenix Gould, what a name, but really the Phoenix rising, it is symbolic of like, you do have so many opportunities in life to start over. And it doesn't mean like, you know, everything else is not validated. And it's just about, you know, just starting a new exciting adventure.
Yes.
It's a good thing. It doesn't mean it was all bad or something.
No.
It's what's next.
So we'll try for another baby and then, you know, we'll see what happens when I come back from mat leave. I might not be able to go back to Suncor again because Ella will be in school now, right?
Right. So it'll be a whole different kind of, I guess, scheduling situation.
Yeah.
Right. And then what did you think of Martha Stewart's restaurant in Las Vegas?
Great question.
I didn't know she had one there, but of course she does. They all do.
She does. Yeah. It was, I don't know how to use, like, so elegant, right? Like, just on a totally different level. I've never, like, ate this kind of food before.
What did you get?
We had, so Trevor and I shared a pasta.
Lovely.
And then my mother-in-law and father-in-law got this roasted chicken.
Mm.
And it was crazy. She, like, stuffed a bunch of spices in between the skin and the, like,
oh, that was Martha's recipe.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what were some of the other highlights of Las Vegas?
Yeah, we went to Fremont Street.
What the heck is that? Is that the main street?
It's no, that's the strip is the main street.
Is that what, like, it's called the strip, but is it actually like, does it have a name or is it just called the strip?
It's just a strip.
Ah.
And then Fremont Street is like an older part of town. It's also a strip. It's like a straight
another
road.
Strip.
Yeah.
From a strip to a strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they got all these shops on the side and they got like the zip line thing down.
Oh
the
my
middle.
God. Is this inside?
No, it's outdoors.
I've seen people zip lining through a mall there.
Yeah. I'm sure they have that too, but no, this is outdoors. It's a no traffic road. So it's like
pedestrian only.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it crazy to go at this age though and to have it like kind of in a more, I don't know. I'm sure it was still crazy, but
yeah, it was, I don't know. I'm glad it's over. I was tired.
You did it and you have some memories and now it's
Yeah. No, it was good. We were celebrating my brother-in-law's 40th birthday. So that's kind of,
did he have a fabulous time?
Yeah, I think he had a stunning time.
And then in Phoenix, you had a lovely time there as well.
Yeah, I got to hang out with my parents. I don't get to see them very much because they're in the States for the winter. So we FaceTime weekly, right? But it's just not the same.
No.
Yeah.
And was it wild being like, having Ella with your parents and then taken off? How did that feel?
Yeah, that was,
is that a first?
I feel like I've done that before. No, I've dropped her off, not at my parents' house, but at other, we have a babysitter out in Three Hills and she stayed overnight.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like a weird feeling though.
It is. It is. So it was, I don't know. You miss them like crazy, right?
For sure.
You come back and even I had like a couple minutes of staring at each other. Like when I came back, like, she was too like, oh, I haven't seen you in a little while. You're like, you know, like, but no, it was good. It was nice to have a break, right? Parenting is full time. It's full on, especially with these toddlers. Like they are very active, right? And so it was nice to get away, but it was so nice to come home too.
I know, it is always nice to come home.
Isn't it? It's the best.
It is. And I'm back here in Calgary after all these years.
Yes, welcome back.
And it's been so lovely meeting you.
Yes, thank you.
Jamie, if anyone else wants to meet you online, how do they find you?
Yes, so I'm on Instagram. I am Jamie Bauer, spelled IamJamieBauer. And then I also have a website.
Tell us about it.
JamieBauer.com.
Yes.
And it's got that career coaching kind of vibe. I'd like to change that a little bit just because, I don't know, I'm not really feeling it anymore, but it's there. And then I'm on Instagram. I post daily.
I love what you post. Ready with me.
Yeah,
those
you like
are
that?
Great. I love it.
I just started doing
I have
that.
A question actually. Yes. The little disc that you use on your skin.
Yes.
Tell us more. You need an Amazon affiliate for that.
I actually looked into that. It's not like super simple. I couldn't figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
we should look into that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. We should.
Like I need to profit off the Savannah. You need to profit off the face disc.
Yeah. Well, and I buy a lot of stuff from Amazon. Yes. It's just so convenient. They ship it right to your door. Yeah. Like I am
to the farm too.
Yeah. So I get a lot of my stuff shipped to Calgary just because it's
of course
a little quicker.
Yeah.
But they do ship to the farm. It just takes like a week.
But what is that little disc?
It's a little plastic thing. I've actually had it for a long time. Like it's not like, it's plastic. It's a little like prongs at the top of it. And then just... I don't know. It like foams up the stuff.
Oh, it does. Okay. I was intrigued. I love something like that.
Yeah.
It's just nice. Fun.
Yeah. And it like cleans really easily too. Like you don't have to worry about like the product getting stuck in the fibers or whatever.
Love it. Okay, Jamie. Thank you again for coming.
You betcha. My absolute pleasure. I had so much fun doing this. Thank you so much for asking me.
We'll do it again.
Let's.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.